we have a basketball program that we all expect to compete for Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in the Big Ten.
Final four!
I didn't think you was going to be this good, but it feels good!
First, I need the national championship.
Welcome on in, everybody, to the boardroom. Maddie here, alongside Josh and Johnny. And Merry Christmas, Illini fans, because for the first time in 1,460 days, the Bragging Rights Trophy is coming back to its rightful home in Champaign, Illinois, after a final score of 88-63 over the Missouri Tigers. Whew, did that one feel good? And boy, that was, for the most part, I would say a pressureless victory, kind of going out at the start, up 10, up 12, up 17, cutting it maybe down to 7 or 9, as we'll talk about. It was a game of runs, and then up to 16, 15 at halftime, and then, you know, second half, absolute pedal to the metal to a 35-point victory. But let's just get some initial just feelings, right, as Bragging Rights, comes back to Champaign.
Yeah, unfortunately, 25-point win because...
I said 35.
Mizzou had that little eight-point run at the end there, which annoying score finish of 88-63 when it should have been like 90-55, but hey.
That's what happens when I try to do math when talk at the same time, guys.
Yeah, that little 8-0 run with our backups in, it's fine, Kwanzaa. But hey, honestly, just so nice to see Trent Frazier carrying that trophy, Demonte Williams carrying that trophy, like... just a nice relief, and you almost feel for those kids when they said, like, oh, it's going to be like a happy Christmas. Like, I can only imagine if you lose that game and you have Brad Underwood in your locker room afterwards, like, that's just not going to be a fun week. So it's nice, and nice for all the St. Louis Illini fans to not have to worry about those Mizzou people for another year. And just a nice relief and send-off for Trent Frazier and Demonte Williams.
Not imagine staking personality or any sort of staking any sort of claim or investment on a sports team, right? You know, how dare it decide how we enjoy our holidays or not? Wouldn't be me.
Yeah,
Wouldn't be any of us.
Oh, yeah, poor players. It's not like we're
It's not like we don't get to enjoy Christmas or New Year's because of it either. Yeah, oh, are you kidding me? The last... three, you know, Christmases and New Year's. I mean, that stings well into the new year. So it is nice to say, all right, you get to enjoy some nice time with loved ones, also with an Illinois victory on top.
Yeah, the 25-point win is the third most in the highest difference in this rivalry. It was 32 set by the 2005-2006 team for Illinois. So D and James had a big night on that night. But it's sort of annoying that the freshmen got to choose one of their games to make history. Were they going to make history against St. Francis and have 18 three-pointers where Pods hit the 18th three in that game? Or are they going to make history and they let up an 8-0 run against Mizzou? But it's all good. I mean, there's really nothing to complain about from this game. When Brad's going to review tape, I think the only thing, which is probably the biggest emphasis all season, is trying to figure out how to give like entry passes to Kofi in a more efficient way. But really, there's nothing else that, in my opinion, went wrong for the team. Kofi played like he should play as the most dominant player in the country, and Trent, Plummer, Grandison all did their part.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that's a little worrisome is Kofi can't play 40 minutes, and you see, like, when Omar Payne comes in, like, you dump the ball to the paint, and it's not just, like, an immediate double team. Like, when Kofi has the ball, like, you're just winning because he either is one-on-one against someone or they're sending multiple guys and someone's going to be open for a shot. So, like, it's... That's really like the only worrisome thing. Yeah, we had one unfortunate run there where they cut it from 17-7 or whatever. Right. And Maddie and I were talking about it like right after.
Johnny
that.
Johnny hates when I say
yeah,
this.
No. Well, no. I agreed with you. Maddie says like it just can never be this easy. Usually I'm like it's going to be easy. This game with Bragging Rights and Mizzou having 1-3 shirt, I was like you're just right. And then fortunately they made it easy. But what I was saying to you was. Then we go on like a 19-1 run. I'm like, when we go on those runs, it doesn't feel the same as
to, not at all.
Like it just feels like we're playing good basketball. You know, it's just like a calm, like, oh yeah, that's supposed to happen. We're supposed to make it, get a stop, get a score, get a stop, get a score. But when they do, it's like literal torture.
Which would certainly sound partial to our team here. It's like, oh, well, they're just playing basketball. They're outscoring their opponent by 19-1 in the last 3 minutes. Isn't that always how it works?
Yeah, I mean, shouldn't Kofi just dunk shouldn't he just be dunking from the free throw line? Like, that's just what he does.
From the free throw line, unbelievable. To me, the play of the game, since we're talking about Kofi right now, it's not any of those dunks. It's not any of the rebounds. It's not any of the nice passes that he had, you know, to open up an open three. It's with 3 minutes left in the game. They're up by 30. Kofi gets probably hacked. It's a no call. It's going the other way. Kofi sprints down the court and gets his hand up, and he deflects the pass, and the ball is going the other way. He did not need to do that.
Yeah, up he looked like a defensive 30. Back who had been, like, beat going for, like, down coverage, but just puts his hands up and gets the hand of the ball. It was amazing. Yeah, like, his effort and his just, like, tenacity for 40 minutes is incredible. Like, we do not understand, Maddie and I, as long distance runners, how this dude who weighs 285 pounds is just like consistently able to stay, like, have endurance.
Freak of nature.
Yeah, he's
insane. It is remarkable. It is unbelievable. And it's awesome to watch him.
And that kind of continues your point from maybe three podcasts ago. It's just like, I feel like we don't appreciate enough of, like, what Kofi does for this program. He puts in his heart, he puts in his sweat, he puts in everything. And I don't know, maybe it's just that we are all, like, coming down from the IO high, but he is just as an elite player for the Illini basketball program as IO was.
Well, I think we're still feeling the high of Dosunmu, and I don't think that we don't not appreciate Kofi by any stretch of the imagination. I think you will feel it. Dare I say a hot take? It's like you will almost miss Kofi next year more than you miss Io right now, just because you have Kofi,
right?
And in a way, he is more dominant in a sense than Io was, just because he is a big man and he does things in the paint that I have never seen a basketball player do on a basketball court.
Yeah, he's so hard to replace.
You cannot replace him. You know, at least a little bit of the athleticism with your guards. You know, you still have a little bit of, you have scoring, you have athleticism, you have passing, but you will not be able to replace any semblance of Kofi Coburn next year. And I think that is our challenge right now, is to just accurately enjoy and not say, like, we're not appreciated, to accurately appreciate Kofi for what he is right now.
Yeah, I mean,
I was just going to say.
And, okay, red light, yellow light. All right, who's at the stop sign first? Who had the right of way?
No, what I was going to say is, I think Io and Kofi, Io is so much about, like, the intangibles, the leadership, picking Illinois when no one else wanted to go there, being the in-state kid. Like, he's the guy, the program starter. And not only that, the intangible things of, like, he's the closer. He's the guy who hits the buzzer beaters. Kofi is just the, almost like the tangibles, like the 7-footer, just automatic 20-10, like just super reliable. They do different things and they provide you a different level of comfort. Like, it was so nice anytime last year in the last 2 minutes you knew, like, I was just going to get a bucket. But it's also incredibly nice just to know, like, all you have to do is just make an entry pass and you feel very comfortable on offense. Josh, what were you going to say?
No, I was going to say the Andy Bernard quote when at the end of The Office, where he says, why don't we know when we're in the good old days when we're in it, or something to that nature? And that's what it pretty much is. And it pretty much echoes what you said about Io versus Kofi there.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, we're so lucky to be watching this. And next year, like, who's going to be that post presence that's going to be scoring for us? Like, is it going to be Dane Danger, or is it going to be like Omar Payne? Like, nice player, but he's not going to be doing that. So
no,
enjoy this run. And like, teams are able to win national championships or be successful without super dominant post players, but it's such a fortunate thing to have a dominant big like Kofi, right? And when you look at the stats tomorrow, he's finally played 75% of our team's games. So he's going to be, I think, like, fourth in scoring and, like, third in rebounding in the country, which is just insane.
Wow. Yeah.
That's wild.
Like, he's going to be, he's going to be third in rebounds. He's averaging over 12 rebounds a game and 21.7 points a game. Like, Yeah, are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's impressive.
You did bring up a good point that Danger is going to be on the team for he'll be on the all bench team coming up starting, I guess, the next game since the semester's over.
Yeah,
right.
Get some practice minutes
get
against
him
Kofi.
Get him in here. Yeah, someone referred to sort of like Josh. You were asking like, you know, what can we nitpick? What can we worry about? The question I think we still want answered is, which of the freshmen are going to be like the freshman that sort of distinguishes themselves, you know, in the rotation and from the other freshmen. You still need more scoring. You still need, you know, they need to tighten that rotation a little bit. And I don't think Brad has figured out between the freshmen sort of which one it is. You look at Pajimski, had a couple nice serviceable minutes, a nice little interior bucket there, a nice three. You look at Goody, who gave you a couple minutes. You look at RJ, who gave you a couple minutes down the end. And I don't know, it does feel kind of neck and neck. It doesn't feel like one of them has certainly moved ahead of the other. And so if you are looking for things to, I don't know, be worried about, I suppose as we have one more tune-up before conference play, you would like, ideally, if one of the freshmen had sort of stuck their neck out and said, okay, it's going to be me, Brad. And so far, it hasn't been that.
Yeah, or is it just going to be a seven-man rotation once Curbelo comes back?
Like, right, and the Marquette game as well as the Arizona game, it kind of felt like it was a seven-man rotation, and I think it really was in those games where the freshmen weren't really coming in. You kind of saw Goody or RJ or Brandon, they would come in like maybe for a minute, like at the right before the under 16 timeout, they'd come in to give someone a break, or under eight timeout, and then it comes into like, I think it's just whoever performs the best in practice for the days leading up to the game. Like that's how Brad's going to do it. If he needs to make it an 8-man rotation. Also, Brandon's coming in for a different role than what Luke and what RJ is coming in for. So it's like, is Brandon going to come in to sub out DeMonte or sub out Trent or Plummer versus then what like Goody and Melendez are coming in for?
Yeah, exactly. Because now you don't have Hutch. You pretty much, the point guards are, you have DeMonte Williams playing out of position, playing point guard, or Trent / Plummer playing point guard, who neither of which, like, in your heart of hearts, you like, you don't want them necessarily on the ball. So no. Having Pajimski there again, that's an opportunity to have another guy playing point guard. But what I think is interesting, which we haven't really talked about too much, is just like how consistent Jacob Grandison and Alfonso Plummer have been. Like,
well, I'm going to stop you right there. Consistency, I you know, one thing if they're playing all right, but I got to stop you right there. Consistency, this man misses a free throw. I don't know if we can call it consistent anymore. I'm sorry. We have standards around here. And to go, what, 35 for 36 or whatever it is, or 28 for 29, I'm sorry, John, I got to cut you off there. And, you know, there's standards around here. And when you miss a free throw, and I don't know if we can call you consistent anymore.
Yeah. But, like, it's actually insane. Grandison, he's shooting over 50% from three, goes 3 for 5 tonight. Just an easy 9 points on 7 shots, and also 6 assists. Like, way to get the ball into the big man. And then also we were like a nice little quiet 22 from Plummer. Like, it didn't seem like he was lighting guys up. He only had 3 threes only, but like made a bunch of his 2-point shots. Like,
career, I think it was a season high 5 made 2-point field goals, which is kind of a funny stat. But if he looked pretty solid getting into slithering there into the paint right after he missed that free throw, next possession, he goes, I'm going into the paint to score a bucket to make up for it.
Yeah.
That's fun to see him kind of slither down in there.
But
the main thing that I think this team is missing, though, like that I think Plummer tried to do today, and we did see with his career high of made 2-point field goals, is there is still no one that with Curbelo out that's going to drive into the lane consistently and make that penetration for someone to like sag off of Kofi or anything like that. So I mean, that if we're nitpicking, that's what we're looking for.
Yeah, so hopefully the doctor is ordering a nice dose of Andre Curbelo once he comes back.
So your nitpicking is the non-healing of a traumatic brain injury.
Yeah. So hopefully
is the not rapid enough pace of his synapses within the prefrontal cortex, if I'm understanding correctly.
All right. You're cut off.
I'm just trying to understand.
Doctor explaining here.
Absolutely.
So hopefully he comes back. But I know we talked about it a little bit at the top, but I do just want to like really appreciate Trent Frazier here too, because I think he was the guy when Mizzou cut that game to 7. He was like, no, not in my house, not in my fifth bragging rights game. Like, no, no, we're ending it here. And a couple of threes just really easing the game for us and kind of setting the tone. Love that him and Javon Pickett kept getting chippy, and Javon Pickett goes 1-for-8. Like, all he can do is be pouty and push Trent around. And Trent, I think, caused multiple fouls by Javon Pickett. But, like, yes, there were a couple heat check shots by Trent that maybe he could have reined in. But just any night that you can get 15 points from Trent Frazier and get to see him get another bragging rights win, I'm just very proud of that, dude.
Speaking of Pickett, the stat that Robert wrote about in his how we do in bragging rights, that Javon Pickett is a career 30% 3-point shooter, but against Illinois he is 75%. How would that, like, obviously it feels like that because he's the most Illinois killer that we've had on the Zoo with Tillman and Smith there, but like he. I'm just happy he went 1-for-8 today. That's all I got to say. Like, you deserve to cool down and not be the 70%, 75%.
Yeah, shout out regression to the mean. Yeah, regression
we love
to the
statistics.
Mean.
We love statistics around here. Yes. But I mean, look, in a game like bragging rights, in a rivalry game, who do you look for? You look for seniors who have been around. You look for guys who are playing their last game here, and you're looking at a Trent Frazier, you're looking at a Kofi Coburn, you're looking at a Damonte Williams, and those are the guys that probably wanted it the most, and they showed up today, and it's cool, you know, in their last of this rendition of this game, for them to come out and go out on absolutely a high note, because you know Trent wanted it so bad, you know that man wanted it so bad, and it was cool to see that. But Josh, you had sort of mentioned a couple minutes ago, you know, you don't know what you got till it's gone. Maybe that phrase applies to one Mr. Quanzo Martin right now. I mean, I know he's got a few of these bragging rights victories, but some of the old takes on the old Twitter are coming out here this evening about, you know, Quanzo being better than Brad tweets, and he, you know, I clearly don't have a pulse on the hot seat down in Columbia or of that fan base. But it's a tough year, and I can't help but wonder if that seat is starting to bubble a little bit, and I'm sure that losing this game does not help that from an optics perspective by 25 points.
Yeah, I mean, it was funny, too, when they were interviewing both Brad and Kofi after the game. They were like, what was different about this win as opposed to when you played Arizona? And Maddie and I both looked at each other like, yeah, Mizzou just sucks. Like, there's not a good team, and you played well. You didn't play like amazing. You handled the team you should have handled, and it's crazy how Mizzou is not just like an average team, but a bad team.
We're not recording a podcast if the name on the back of the jersey is not Missouri. If the name is the team above or below it on KenPom, which I'm sure Johnny is looking up right now, and it's, gosh, I don't know, like a Louisiana Tech or a Middle Tennessee State. Like, we're not recording a podcast after a 25-point win.
Yeah, a 25-point win against Oral Roberts or Rice. Yeah. Both of which are, like, barely 500.
Okay, but Oral Roberts last year.
True, true.
Yeah, they made a run. True.
So, you know, maybe we would have given
Max A. Smith.
We would have given him a podcast, but
I took a quick gander at tigerboard.com, and we got some.
you might want to clear browsing history and check for viruses after. You know, just throw it in the trash.
Quanzo shouldn't make the trip back. Sometimes you just get your teeth punched in. So it was Underwood putting the final nail in CM's coffin. Washington Generals versus the Globetrotters.
That's good.
At least they got some humor in it.
That's good. We, you know, if your coach is going to get fired, you might as well at least have a little bit of dignity and humor. So shout out to some of those funny posters and keeping it real there.
It's funny, too, when I control F'd Missouri to try to see where they were in KenPom, Missouri State is actually 63rd, so 97 spots ahead of them. Like, it's just nice to see. Like, I imagine they're super frustrated about that. Like, if ISU was 100 spots ahead of us, we would be fuming. So,
yeah.
Shout out Dana Ford and the Missouri State Bears for dominating the MVC. But it's great. A couple other great things that came out of this game were just like the memes. First of all, Brad being interviewed by Andy Katz, and Andy Katz was like, oh yeah, was it weird last year when someone had to do a coin flip and the game was played at Missouri? And Brad just gives him that look because it was Andy Katz who did the coin flip, but that's going to stay out. That's going to live forever.
That's amazing. Yeah. I'm so glad it's the internet is amazing.
There's so much potential with that.
Yeah, I mean, there's already been some really, really good ones. We'll have to maybe compile some of those. But it, instantly, within a moment, it was already a meme. It was already a GIF. And my gosh, I mean, we got to come up with some really good ones here. But that face that he made at poor Andy for, you know, flipping tails instead of heads or whatever it was supposed to be. Yeah, that was good, Johnny.
Yeah, and so like tonight's just like a night of dunking on Mizzou, and one of the icing on the cake too was seeing Mizzou losing their bowl game to Army, and the icing on the cake being as their field goal attempt went in
for Army's field goal.
Army's field goal attempt goes in. There's a flag on the play for Mizzou because they had two number sixes on the field. Like,
what is that penalty? Is that that's just like an illegal?
Yeah, you just can't have
equipment.
Two guys.
Yeah, it's so hard for that to happen because you'd think that you have the same like field goal unit on at all times, that your field goal block unit at the end of a game where you need to block a field goal, like you would think that you have your 11 dudes out there, yet there's two number sixes.
Yeah, I don't know if they like said, hey, receiver who's really tall, now you're going to try to block, but
happened to be number six.
Yes.
Yes, so amazing. I wish we could also be sitting here this evening and talking about how we're accepting a bowl invitation on behalf of the Gators. But unfortunately, it looks like that. Look, we didn't win six games, so we can't really say, gosh, we should be in a bowl game right now, especially when the team that you lost to that could have given you six wins, like a Rutgers, reportedly has accepted that bowl bid. But Johnny and I were talking about how, I mean, low key, we'd probably get our asses handed to us by Wake.
Just because of the lack of practice. Like, when you have dudes who just took finals and are probably resting their bodies after a long season, like, it probably would not have gone our way as opposed to Wake Forest, who's been practicing for the past few weeks and executing. And Brett Bielema is now just calling up guys and be like, hey, 6-year seniors, you guys want to play one more football game? Like, I don't know, if I was those seniors after that win against Northwestern, I probably would have gone to Cam's and had a few drinks and enjoyed myself.
Absolutely.
With that Land of Lincoln trophy. But,
Absolutely.
So yeah, kind of a blessing in disguise. It made me think, though, there were reports that Rutgers wasn't interested in and was turning down that.
Yeah.
Was that like when you offer, like when a Power 5 school waits on offering a kid until they have another Power 5 offer and then, oh, now we're interested. Like, oh, Illinois wants to play. Now they're good enough.
Yeah, we call that the old Jimmy Rolder now committed to Michigan. But we need a daddy to pull through, and by daddy I mean Shad Khan, to somehow make it Illinois skip the order of ask.
Yeah.
Daddy said
ask your mother first, and I'm not sure if it's going to work out.
Daddy needs to figure out his own head coaching situation before he comes and gives us a bowl game.
That's true. But hey, maybe a little lesson learned that maybe next year we don't even cut it close and we even go above six wins, and so
yeah,
we
like
don't
if
have
you
to
beat
worry
Rutgers,
about
then they don't. Yeah, if you beat Rutgers, you can go to Detroit instead of going to Jacksonville.
I would take, you know what, Detroit is much closer to us, so we could have gone to the Quick Lane Bowl. We would have played like a MAC team, like it would have been awesome. Yeah. They're on four in bowls so far. We would have beaten like a Toledo or something. Anything else in regards to I suppose either of our revenue sports here? Overall, pretty solid day in the world of Illinois basketball here.
Maddie, one other thing we were talking about was they noted on the broadcast that Kofi calls Brad and not Coach Underwood.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you make more money than the coach, you get to call him by whatever name you want. I guess now with the NIL, you can call him Brad. Yeah. You
like,
can call him
is
Braddy.
Kofi making like almost as much money as Brad Underwood.
You know,
like,
and yeah, he can call him whatever he wants now that sweet, sweet NIL money is coming in. So hey, I mean, that is cool. That like probably does show that they have like an awesome relationship, and. Gosh, I mean, it certainly paid off here tonight with a dunk from the free throw line, a la Michael Jordan. Now all Kofi has to do is hit a free throw with his eyes closed, and he will equal the GOAT. But yes, a nice 25-point victory over the Missouri Tigers. Don't care where they're ranked in KenPom, because you throw out the record books when it comes to these games.
Yes.
And the Bragging Rights Trophy is coming home, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of all of us here at the boardroom, we certainly hope that you have a wonderful Christmas and holiday season, and you enjoy the new year. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll catch you on the next one. ILL.